2 Timothy chapter 1. We are in verse 9, talking about the gospel, and says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We talked about that extensively, but anybody have any questions about verse 9? He saved us, past tense, called us, named us, with a holy calling, with a holy invitation, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, which we saw was a showbread, and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the right before time entered eternity. Amen?
That's the fulcrum of the gospel.
Amen. Then we talked a little bit about if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, which goes along with the idea before the time entered eternity. We are new, not in time, but in substance. And it has the adjective on it that it's in substance, unprecedented, unheard of. That's the whole sense of that verse.
I just think that we're new because of our abandonment and emptying of the mind. We're not new because he's taken our old stuff and made it better. But the new there is something we don't take.
It's only him.
Or part in.
Right. We simply are the vessels. But it's not vessels that are robotic. We are vessels whom the sanctification reveals that we are in harmony with his purpose. And that's what all the process, what it talks about, having being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind must be renewed so that you confess the same thing as Jesus. You see the same thing as he does. You see the finished work. And this is emphasized more in the next verse. Verse 10, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now that's a whole lot of words and a whole lot of importance. Let's look at made manifest means now. It means at that present time. And for us, it means now we see that finally. Now is made manifest. It's simply, it's phaneru, which means disclosed, has appeared, made known. Let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark 16 first. Mark 16. Verse 9. Well, let's start. No, let's not start in verse 1. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he has said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they remembered and were amazed, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto them as they walked and went into the country. Now the word "he appeared" is what in Timothy is made manifest. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And again here, afterward he appeared, afterward he was made manifest. We could spend all. But let's go.
Which one was not manifest there?
He appeared.
Oh, afterward he appeared.
The two times.
The word "he appeared" in 12 and 14 is the same word. It's phanero, which was made manifest. Where do we go? Let's go to Romans 1.
So he was just perceived by the senses.
Well, he appeared. He was seen. He was made manifest. Romans 1.
The interesting is he appears in different forms.
Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and for et cetera, et cetera. The point is, Paul is saying this mind-blowing thing that no man on earth has any excuse for not seeing and knowing the revelation of that which they contain. It's been showed and been revealed in them. And he is revealed by the things that he has made. And if your eyes are opened, no matter where you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. You see the revelation of Christ, whether it's in a tree or a bird or a squirrel. But that's a heavy-duty statement. You are without excuse.
Take me back to where we were a second ago about he appeared in another form as another person. But like what you just said, he can appear in anything.
Right.
His revelation is within us. Let's go to now to Romans 16. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations or all people for the obedience of faith. What is it saying? It sounds like contradictory. He's saying in Romans 1 that they are without excuse because he was made manifest. And here it says that the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It's kept secret because your eyes are clouded. Your eyes have a film over them so that wherever you look, it's the internalized process is, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? And the sickness of man is now they take the gospel and say, what does this mean to me? Instead of seeing, they only see the reflection of themselves. But the mystery has been there from the beginning of the day, beginning of days. It was made manifest unto Abel and to Cain and to Adam, to Eve, and everyone since then. It has been made manifest, but because of the fall, because of the lack of integrity, it has been kept secret. Remember the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. Well, that's all man has done. We've done it our whole lives. And that's why my favorite little ditty is, how has this worked out? How'd that work out for you? Well, if you have integrity, you see that it has not worked out at all. You see that you were born to fail. You can't do it. You can't bring it to an end. You have the illusion of doing it for a while, but then failure over and over and over and over again. Leaning on the arm of your own understanding, trusting your own thoughts and your own emotions. You can't see that never in your entire life have your mind or your emotions ever been a friend. The purpose of your mind and your emotions is to keep you alone. Everybody understand that? Then why would you ever believe them? Why would you ever give them any importance? This is what I think about that. Nobody cares. Because this mystery has been revealed, made manifest to all men. Let's go to Colossians 1. No, before we go, let's go to 1 Timothy first. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifest, made revealed in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He was manifest in the flesh, but he was never justified in the flesh. And that's an incredibly important distinction. And if, as he is in the world, so are we. Therefore, you can never justify yourself. You can try, but you look like an idiot when you do. Amen?
Yeah, that's why he opened not his mouth, because that would have been justifying himself in the flesh.
All right. Let's go to now Colossians 1. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation or administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The mystery which has been hid from all generations, including this one, but is now made manifest to the saints, i.e. a saint is someone who sees the mystery. Amen? All right, one more. Romans 16. Did we do that one? Yeah, we did. Never mind. Now, all of this, everything we're talking about now, is what is the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. Without exception in the ancient Jewish writings, the kingdom of heaven was when this Messiah would be revealed and show unto them all mysteries and everything they would ever need to know, and would defeat all of the enemies. And what happened? Problem was, as they didn't understand that their greatest enemy was themselves. And so now Israel, what is called Israel today, is waiting. Most in Israel, and most Israelis or Jews, are at best they're agnostic. 76%, according to a survey, of those living in Israel don't even believe in God. It's a political system. That's mind-blowing. Now, after the destruction of the temple, a unique thing happened. And that unique thing that happened was synagogue Judaism. Judaism, as revealed in the Torah, cannot exist without the temple. And yet now, all of these things are said and done by rabbinic authority as opposed to the Torah authority. You understand what I mean? Their whole societal system, their whole way of... My favorite one is Yom Kippur, which was the singular time that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to make atonement. Now, that same atonement is done by holding a chicken over your head. And they're all waiting for something else to happen. Same is true in modern Christianity for the most part. They're waiting for something else to happen. They're waiting. Some believe that the Christians must control and this one gets me. The whole idea of the dominion theology, there's a ton of those people. They believe that their job is to create a society in which the Messiah can return to. Now, the Hasidic Jews, the ultra-Orthodox, they don't believe that the Israel that's in Israel, even the ones that are living in Israel, is the Israel of God. Because for them, they don't join the army. It's just a weird contradiction which exists in the center of Israel. The Israel of God can only be established at the return of Messiah. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting and getting ready and getting ready. American Christianity, they've raised $8 billion to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Again, modern Christianity, for the most part, is synagogue Judaism, which can't exist. Messiah is come. He's just waiting for his people to sit down. And we're going to spend a few days on this idea of made manifest and what does that mean in terms of the kingdom of God. Anybody have any responses?
The position of holding the knowledge is there, but the secret isn't revealed without faith. And you can have the knowledge, but without faith, all you have is some information.
You have a philosophy. You know how I love philosophy.
I've heard. But that key that trips it over is believing. And then the whole kingdom is opened up.
Let's go to Daniel 9 and we'll see why that's so important. Daniel had just been confessing his sins and the sins of the people.
What chapter?
9. Verse 20. 9 what?
Page 932.
Oh. In you ought to read the whole of chapter 9, but we're going to start in verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God. Again, I can't say it enough. praying without without having supplication as its foundation is essentially meaningless. And supplication is complete yieldedness. My life is no longer my own. Tomorrow, my tomorrows are no longer mine. Nothing about me is mine. Do what you will with me as you please, God. That's supplication. So, in verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, it wasn't the beginning of the prayer, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. You can't do any more than that. And that 70 weeks, when you calculate it from the time that the commandment came forth, the rebuilding, it is exactly the time of the crucifixion of Christ. That's why so many of the Jews that were living all over the world returned in the years up leading up to this time. We talked about Mark's parents and Barnabas, who was Mark's cousin, who they lived on the island of Crete. And there were Jews all over the place that were very wealthy. They all came back. Mark's parents bought this estate in the upper room big enough to hold 120 people.
Did they come back because of this?
Yes. This was the end to them. And it is the end. It was the end to them. Now the question is it the end to you? That's why Jesus said it's finished. He was talking about this and much more, but he was talking about at least this. So the kingdom of God is come. It came, but now it for us, it has to be seen as is, not will. Remember, the Antichrist can confess that he did come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come. Amen?
Amen. That goes back to what I was saying earlier about those holding the knowledge. The Antichrist has the knowledge of everything. But it's not the now. And it's not faith.
And it's not, by definition, no, it's not even true knowledge. Because it's only philosophy.
It's just information. But
I had a very big... Anybody? Anyway, anybody else have anything? All righty. We'll continue. We're going to study some more on the kingdom of heaven tomorrow. Take it, big guy. I had a very large paperclip. What did I do with it?